how marvelous His love is for us? I always like to say me, like He's all mine. But He's all of ours. Are there any sinners here today? A few. I have something that I want to read to you. I always put my name in for that sinner. Darla, the sinner, unites her weaknesses to Christ's strength, her emptiness to Christ's fullness, her frailty to Christ's enduring might. Then she has the mind of Christ. That's Desire of Ages. Do you like it? God's wanting us to give ourselves to Him, and He takes our weaknesses, our emptiness, our frailty, and He does mighty things with it. I was telling Wendell in the back, are you shocked to see me again, Wendell? I usually only make it here once a year. Here it's twice. Because of coming in June and standing up here sharing, and I was telling Wendell that morning, I was crying at home, telling my husband on the phone, I don't want to do it. I just want to stay in bed. And I had told God, just stuff me in the rock and you do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk. And I told my husband this morning, I like to run right now. a long run. But because of being obedient, even when you don't feel like it, there was a lot of people here in June because Bob Logan had died. And one of his relatives was sitting there listening, and she said to me at the door, do you have books you've written? And I wanted to just giggle and laugh. And she says, do you have other tapes? Would you be willing to come to Colorado? And I'm just laughing, going, sure, yeah, why not? You know, I did go. I just got back a couple weeks ago. Isn't God something? And then how God orchestrated everything to go was beyond my wildest imagination. Saying no to things I always say yes to. God had me in California so I would be close enough they could afford to bring me in. But what I want to share with you that took place there, and knowing a few months before, I asked God, can you give me some live experiences to share, not old stories. Lord, I want some fresh stories to share with people, not 10 years ago. I wanted some really fresh. One of the fresh stories that happened that I will share about that, and then how their story relates to you. So one of the fresh stories for them was, if you remember when I was here in June, I shared a little bit about having the mind of Christ. Does anyone remember that? I see some heads shaking. That was the beginning of my journey. I want to share with you what has happened in my life since I've been inviting Jesus to come in and give me the mind of Christ. One incident was, you know, the internet and how young people like to find a special person off the internet. Well, my daughter found some man off the internet, and I was headed to a meeting, and she said, Mom, I'm going to go meet this stranger, and I'm going to spend the night. I'd ask for the mind of Christ right then. Lord, I need your mind, because I know what my mind's like. There was this perfect peace that came over me, and she said, so what do you think, Mom? I said, you know, I'm not comfortable. I don't know who he is. I don't know where you're going. I'm not comfortable. Well, Mom, I'm going to do it anyway. I figured she would. That's why I didn't say no. And so after she made her decision to go and the peace was still there, I said to God, is that what the mind of Christ is like? I love it. Because I know in my mind, I'd be going, oh, is she going to be raped? Is she ever going to come back? I don't know where to look for her. She doesn't answer her phone, and my mind runs amok. And I just had this absolute perfect peace. And I said, God, I could get used to this. I want the mind of Christ. This is wonderful. And then she didn't call all the next day. And I still had perfect peace. Yeah, I see those eyes of a mom going, how could you have perfect peace? And I thought, wow. And then when she finally called, she says, I knew you'd be worried. And I just want to check in. I'm going to be gone longer. And it was just like this perfect, perfect peace. And I said, Lord, I want to invite you in every day. I want to have this experience of the mind of Christ. Then there was Fitness at the Ridge, and here 10 people from Oregon came. Things were going wrong. The electricity's gone, no water. And I mean, just, but if you notice, the staff had this calmness, the mind of Christ in a storm. Was Jesus ever all frantic? He had this peace. And I thought, wow. And then I thought, my husband's in California. I have a free weekend. I'm going to have a woman's retreat at the house. And then I said to God, I am so tired from Fitness at the Ridge. I have nothing left to give these women, but I feel like God gave me the idea. So you help me. On the last day they were there, this one lady who's a new Christian was sitting there at the table, and she started sharing with me. I have this pain. She said, I'm a twin, and my sister died, and it was unexpected. Within 24 hours, my twin was gone. We talk 5 times a day, and we're close, and she's gone. She says, like, I just can't get over her death. Remember, I had asked for the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, you start hearing differently. And as I sat there listening to her, I could hear the Father saying, I know what it's like to be like a twin. And I was thinking how Jesus says, if you know me, you know my Father. Isn't that someone who's pretty close? Like really close? Come on, if you know my sister, you know me. It's that closeness. And as I listened, and she kept sharing, and then I brought up some material, and I said, look at this quilt material I bought to make myself one of these cuddle quilts, and I was showing him. She's like, oh, I love the fabric. It's so beautiful. And I said, then I got this one to make for this, you know, whatever. And then the women left, and they had not hardly even left the door, and I heard it so clearly. He says, I want you to make that blanket for her, and I want you to write a letter from me. And I'm thinking, I've never had that thought because I bought that for me. That was all mine. I never thought of anybody else, but I was like, I like this. And the Lord says, make it for her, and I want you to write a letter for me. So I asked my Lutheran pastor friend, who I spoke about her in June. She was at the house. Okay, Liz, I need help. I've never made one of these before. So we whipped this blanket up in a couple days. And then I said, okay, God, you want to write a letter to her. I have no clue what to say. This is not something I do as a hobby, write letters for you. So I thought, okay, what do you want me to say to this girl? And so I just started writing whatever came to my mind. Okay, I'll pre-write it in my journal first, and then I'll write it on the real paper, whatever. And I just said, okay, I'm just going to write. And it was quite a love letter from God of how loved and how God wants to touch no matter what wounds you carry. He wants to touch your wound. And he said, when you touch this blanket and you feel the softness, picture my arms, my softness I have for you, that I love you. And every time you touch it, remember God is soft. He's gentle. He's loving. So I wrote it, and then I called the gal and I said, something's coming in the mail. It's not from me. It's from God. I said, because he gave the idea, he told me what to do, and I'm just following orders. I'm just a servant, and so it's not from me, because it was his idea. It wasn't mine. So I waited. When she got it, she emailed back, I know that letter was from God because you mentioned things that my sister and I are the only ones that knew. Whew, this was a live experience to share with the women. When you have the mind of Christ, you start seeing different. You start hearing different. Your thoughts about crisis, there's a calmness that you say, God's going to work it out somehow. You don't get that riled. I fall off the ditch and I have to invite him in again. Fall off the ditch, invite him in again, because my nature gets pretty riled. I get pretty excited over things. I get pretty scared and nervous. When I was in California, still getting ready to go to the women's retreat, I was listening and reading, and that afternoon I says, I really want to learn how to just let you abide in me and have that mind of Christ and to experience and how to understand and share with people how loved you are. Even if, and then you can name our sins, no matter how deep, how dirty, how addicted, how much we've fallen, whatever, how loved we are by God. And so I was thinking of this, God, there's no difference in that homeless person than me. We're lost without Jesus. They probably are better off because they know their condition. I think I got it all right. And so I was thinking about this, and my husband came home. He says, are you ready to go for a walk? And I said, well, let's do Tarantula Hill. And I time everything I hike. That's 11-minute hill, straight up. 11 minutes coasting downhill. So we arrive, and there's a woman standing at the trailhead, quite tall, and she says, have you ever hiked this before? I said, twice. This is my third time. It takes 11 minutes. She looks at me and she goes, well, that's about all I could take is probably 11 minutes up. You know, I'm not very fit. And she starts walking with me. And I'm a person who talks to people very easily. And I started asking her questions. And she starts sharing. She was 51. And I just turned 51. She was talking about the choices she made. And because of those choices, the wounds and the sorrows in her life. And she kept talking about all these hurts in her life. And I told her, I have really good news. And she's like, what? I said, God loves those kind of people. He loves people who are broken. He makes something wonderful from your mistakes in your life. He remolds them. And then he lets you take your brokenness and share it with someone else to help them. Because then they go, well, God can do that to you. He can help me. And she's listening to this. And I was telling her how loved you are. And then I said to her, and I'm a missionary. I loved what he said. I'm a missionary in Indiana. And she goes, missionary? You're a missionary? And she went off to the foreign field. And I said, no, Indiana. So we get to the top and she says, my health condition, I don't get to church. I have no Christian fellowship. I'm on disability. I barely have enough to eat. I live in a little trailer. And then I said to her, I don't like walking down in the dark. I didn't bring a headlamp. It's time for us to start heading down those 11 minutes because it gets dark fast. This is what she said. Would you pray with me? Here was someone hungering to hear that they are loved, but wanting someone, would you pray for me? Hey, I'm not used to strangers saying, would you pray for me? And I said to her, would you mind if we held hands? I said, honey, let's make a circle. I love holding hands, touching. So here I'm praying with this woman that God would take all the brokenness in her life and that he would touch every place that she hurts and bring healing. And Lord, lift her up and let her see that you'll take brokenness and turn it into something. And so we prayed and then we walked 11 minutes down. And then I said, what's your name? And I almost fell right then. She said, Valerie. That's my daughter's name. And I thought, and some of her brokenness is my daughter's brokenness. And I thought, God, is there someone telling my daughter how loved she is besides her mother? Because this woman needed to hear from someone, you are so loved, even though you're broken. God loves broken people. And then I said to her, here's my email, let's talk. When I got in the car, I said, honey, was that a divine appointment or was that a divine appointment? I said, I am so hyped up for what God will do if you're willing. If you say, Lord, use me. Be prepared for a journey. God knows who's crying out there. So he'll have you meet who needs to hear, you are loved, man. I don't care if you have track marks. It don't matter. God loves you, and he has saved you. I was reading in my Bible this week, it says that what God has done, he has made you perfect. When we see our ugliness and our track record, we think, I can't be perfect. But the text goes on to say, you are perfect while being made holy. God says, I love you right where you are, and you are saved. And in that saved condition, you may fall, you may do this, you may do that, but you're still saved. This text, I read it to someone on the phone last night, and I get so excited, I just get hyped up on it, because this one means everything to me. It says, we shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus because of our mistakes, our shortcomings, our falling back in the ditch, but we are not to be discouraged. That boggles my brain cells. I'm a kid who gets discouraged over, oh, there I did, I'm again, and the self-beating and all the stuff. And it says, you are not to be discouraged, even if you are overcome by the enemy. That's pretty strong there. You are not cast off. You are not forsaken and rejected of God. No. Christ is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The Father himself loves me. That, I want everyone to know. I don't care how many times you screw up. Jesus says right here, you are not rejected. You are not cast off. You are not forsaken. This gives me hope. It's something, it's actually in steps to Christ. And so, in my journey with Jesus, I'm so excited. My kids sort of think mom's lost it, but they like the new mom better than the old mom. I have to repent for the old one, but what I say to them for the old mom was, you can't be any better than where you are in your own brokenness. I says, but you know what now, guys? When mama screws up, she no longer beats herself. Because I'm not forsaken. I'm not to be discouraged. So you know what mama does? I forgive myself. And you can choose to forgive me or not. But you know what? I can be whole in Jesus regardless of your choice. That's a big mind one for me, because I've always thought my wholeness depended on how you treated me. And to be whole, even if you treat me like scum, I have to have the mind of Christ for that. There's another one that I read last night, and I sat and I cried. Mom wasn't home, and I was glad. I just sat there. It just was tearing at my heart. It said, it's the fragrance of our love for each other, for our fellow men, that reveals our love for God. I wept because I see how we treat each other. Oh, God, that means our love for you must be poor. God is love. And I thought, man, Father, God is love. If we don't invite him in, because change has to come from within. Because if we just change our actions, our dress, without changing our mind, it never, ever, ever lasts. Jesus says, be transformed. And it says in Romans 12, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what I love about my Jesus is I can be real with him. I can say to him, my mind is broken, Lord. I've listened to the lies of the devil for so long, I've believed them to be truth. At the door, my dad's going to be handing these out to only those who want them. They're not a force thing. I met the man who put this together. And one of the things that has touched my heart with this, and I shared it at the women's retreat, is here's a little prayer here, and you put your name in. Dear Jesus, thank you for suffering and dying as me, as Darla, embracing all my sin, rejection, betrayal, loneliness, shame, rising to heal my pain, set me free and shine your light of love and truth into my heart. I had never thought of Jesus as dying as me, taking all my addictions, habits, twisted thinking, distortions, and saying, Darla, I want it all. Give it all to me. Give me all your brokenness, all your suffering. I'm going to take it to the cross so you don't have to. But Darla, I rose a new person so you can rise in Christ. And so this little thing talks about root and fruit. The root, we always see the fruit of what you do. It shows in how we dress, shows in how we speak, shows in our choices. Things we do, like being addicted to porn, food addictions, hate, guilt, anger, abuse, gossip, shame, cutting, controlling, bullying, wanting your own way. And Satan says, the false identity, and I believe some of these were me, I'm all alone. When I went to academy, I felt all alone. I'm rejected. I'm not good enough. I need to do more. I just got to be better. And those are not truth. And so on the other side is what we can receive, his presence, his acceptance. It's all about God and what he can do for us. I was sharing this at the women's retreat about how Jesus had been violated, stripped naked. He understands a person who's been violated. There was more than one woman in the audience who I had noticed when we first met. She had a real attitude. But when I notice people with attitudes, all it tells me now, because of that mind of Christ, is there some brokenness that needs healing. That's all I see now. I don't see the harshness and the attitude as much as, wow, something's broken in her that needs Jesus' touch. So I shared some stuff with her, and she's like, oh yeah, nothing's going to be good enough here for you. And I'm just looking at her, you know, whatever. So then I spent the day working in the kitchen with the kids at the academy and let her go do something else so she wasn't working in the kitchen. She says, I've never known a speaker who would work 10 hours in a kitchen instead of needing to prepare, you know, do their thing or whatever. And I says, you don't know me. And then the academy students kept looking at me like, are you real? Because I'm like, hey, let's sing in this kitchen. Let's get some music going. So they were singing. We were just having so much fun. And then when I shared about brokenness and Jesus being violated, and when a child has been violated, it does something to you. Feeling of your worth. It does just so much to you that you don't even know why you're doing what you're doing because of that violation. So I shared with her, I said, I've had some violations in my life. I said, I don't even try to recall. I don't want to. If God brings it up, then I'll deal with what he needs me to deal with. But I told him I had a violation a year ago as an adult, and I'm still healing from it. But I have noticed that the violations of someone stepping over a boundary, what it can do to a person. And as I was sharing Jesus' touch of healing and understanding pain, that gal came to me Sunday morning and she said, something you said Saturday night touched me. Now, I woke up this morning crying like a baby. She said, I was violated and I didn't realize Jesus understood my pain. Don't people like to know that you understand? Oh, you're too good. You don't understand anything. But when you meet someone who is hurt like you, man, you know what I'm feeling, don't you? In this card, it shows how Jesus knows all of our pain. He says, I've taken all of your suffering to the cross. I just got a call yesterday from the lady who had invited me. She said, you know that lady who told you about her brokenness? God has brought healing into her life. She has a joy now that's not ever been there. And the reason is she recognized Jesus understood her pain and that he wants to touch those areas of our life. It was exciting to me because I love this verse and it's been everywhere I go. And God put it on my heart, not knowing it was going to be on his card. The Lord God sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to announce freedom for prisoners and captives, to comfort those who mourn. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. And when you invite Jesus into your heart, you don't have to work on your actions anymore. He says, I've begun a good work in you. I'm going to do it. And sometimes he has to say, Darla, would you get out of the way? Because I fall back into, okay, let me muscle up here. I got to do my job. And the Lord says, no, without me, you can't do it. And I'm like, Lord, I forget. I keep thinking it's me that has to do it. And he said, no. When the Lord comes into your mind, what you once loved quits being such a love anymore. What you once loved to listen to might not be that appealing after a while. What you once loved to eat, all of a sudden you don't have the need to binge on that anymore. God is the one who does it all. He provides salvation for us. He cleans us up. He gives us a new robe. He does it all. What do? Invite him in. Say, yes, Lord, I want what you're offering. I was reading a book on the airplane about salvation from this engineer that my husband worked with, and he was talking about it, and I'm thinking, if only we understand, the only way you'll be lost is if you just flat reject it. You just don't want to accept that Jesus did it all. You want some part of you in there. Come on, God, isn't there something I get to do for my salvation? If there was, he didn't need to come and die on the cross. If we could have done something to save ourselves, why would he have need to come? It's all 100% Jesus. 100%. He was talking about the story of Mary Magdalene. When we understand what Jesus has done for us, it changes our hearts. And he was talking about how Mary had had 7 demons. And it says in the scripture that Jesus wept. He weeps. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. I got this picture of Jesus falling on his knees in front of Mary going, Father, she's mine. Don't let her be harassed anymore. Mary's my daughter. I paid for her with my blood. She's mine. touch her, Lord. And she was touched with that. And for a while, life was good. And then she fell back in and the demons came again. And again, she heard him, "Oh, Father, she's mine." And it says Jesus agonized and cried all night for us. And then it's like I pictured him crying for my broken daughter. I pictured him crying for me. And then everywhere I go, I picture Jesus crying, "They're mine. I paid for them. Redeem them. Take them back." The enemy is defeated, but we act like he's not. He was defeated at the cross. He's doomed. But we believe the devil. We believe that we're no good, that life isn't worth living. I talked to my daughter yesterday. She is so suicidal. "I don't want to go on, Mom." I said, "What does that mean?" I just don't want to go on. And you know what makes you want to not go on? Is you don't see your value and how much Jesus loves you. Because if you understand that kind of love, you want to live for him. You want to tell people. Do you want me to tell you? God took me in the depths of despair and he raised me up. And it's like, she doesn't want to hear. So I beg God, send someone else. Send someone else outside of Mom that she'll hear. "Oh man, you know, you have so much to offer." And all Jesus wants is your heart. Rest. He said, "I'll take out your stony heart and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll transform your mind. I know your mind's sick. I know you've done too much, but I'll give you a new mind." God's promises are so true. I was sharing with Mom. I said, "Mom, you only need one. You don't have to go through the Bible and memorize the whole Bible. Just pick one that speaks to your soul." When my brother was dying, there was only one I held on to. Isaiah 26:3. "I'll keep you, Darla, in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind on me and trust in me." I have used that text over the years when I get scared and I start to look at people and I get discouraged, like, man, if these are Christians, I don't want to be one. And the Lord's like, "Excuse me? Where are you looking?" And then I'm saying, "Okay, Lord, you're going to have to pick my face up because I keep looking." And he says, "Don't." I've had people call me from church with an attitude that made my attitude worse than their attitude. Because myself rose and I got this righteous, and I had a house full of people when I did it and they all watched me. It was like, whoa, my Friday night group who loved me. And then we watched a video that night on forgiveness. And I will never forget the one Presbyterian older man said to me, not till the next week, and they always want to know the continued story, "We'll be praying for you when you go to church tomorrow to meet that woman." I said, "I'm going to need prayers because I know what I want to do. Tell her where to go and how fast to get there." So that night I went into my bedroom, and that morning the Lord said to me, "Don't you dare open your mouth unless you only have real love for her." And you know what I said to God? "Then I ain't opening my mouth." "I'll keep it shut because there's no love in there for that lady. Because you know what? She's a controller. She gets her own way. She's manipulative." And the Lord says, "Keep your mouth shut till there's love." Then I started to cry and say, "I don't have the love like Jesus. Oh, God, I need your kind of love. Because like I said, I'll tell you where to go and how fast to go." And you know what? I watched Jesus change my heart. So by the time I got to church, I could set my healthy boundary with her, but in love, and say, "I won't do this." But there was kindness and true love in my heart. That next Friday night, the Presbyterians, the Catholics, and all of them wanted to know how I did. So I shared with them how God had me keep my mouth shut till love came. And the one man says, "You know, when you watch that video on forgiveness, I watched Jesus change you. So you know, it's not about being perfect with each other. It's about being real with each other. And when one of us falls and we fall back into the old pit of our self whatever, ask the Lord for love in your heart to love." And I picture Jesus on the cross, what he said, "Father, forgive Darla because she didn't even know what she's doing. Forgive Luke. Forgive Vernon. Forgive Chantal. Forgive Larry." I mean, Jesus is crying out, "Forgive them," because you know what? They don't even know what they're doing. It's not always intentional. But I do know we serve a Savior who just flat has this marvelous grace and love for us. So much so that, like I said, He takes the broken, He takes the wounded, and He transforms us. I'll end on this last little story. It's not a very long one. I pray for divine appointments. I ask for them. Some I don't ask for, and they just come. But I told the Lord, I'm available if you would like me to have a divine appointment. The first trip from California to Portland, the lady let me know I will sleep. And I said, no problem. I talked 2 minutes, let her sleep. The second one was a young man who looked like he had a lot on his cup and he was talking on the phone to business transactions or, you know, whatever. But I noticed a book he had and it said science and nutrition, something with the scripture. And so I thought, okay, can I look at your book? I said, I'm interested in science, what science has to say on nutrition, and I love the scriptures. So can I look at your book? Sure. He says, it's a well-worn book. And all of a sudden, some of what I've shared with you started coming out of my mouth. Oh, don't we serve a God that's so awesome? Yeah, I see. As you know, and then I started sharing, and he told me he's a speaker. He speaks in prisons. He speaks in homeless shelters. He speaks in different places and what God is doing in his life. And I just kept sharing with him what a marvelous God we have and how he orchestrates us to meet people and how he places a burden on my heart to pray for you. And so I was telling him about a woman in California who lives at the hotel I stayed at for a few weeks. She drives a pink Corvette. You guys can Google her. Just Google pink Corvette. That's what my husband did. I'm like, honey, how do you know how to find information on a woman? So he had pink Corvette. Whoop! Here she came. And I said to my husband, you know what? I got this deep sorrow in my heart. Her name is Angeline. It's on her. Because her life is missing something. And it said on the internet that she is being Barbie. So she drives a pink Corvette, pink everything, little outfits. She's famous for her billboards in California. An empty life without Jesus. So I took one of those love letters. She was two doors down from me. Whew. Have a love letter from the Lord. And then I thought, okay, now she needs to know, no matter what hurt, what thing's been done to you, you can be you. So I waited a couple days, then, and then the Lord says, now write a personal love letter. So I said to her, that I was her neighbor, that God had placed her on my heart, and that I've been praying for you. And I told her that there's people in Colorado and Utah praying for her, and that we're praying that she would find that Jesus loves her. She don't have to be Barbie. You don't have to be anybody else. It's okay to be you, because God loves you. And it was just a short one, and then I took a Bible study thing on the compelling love of Jesus. And I put it in an envelope and took it down to the front desk. And I said, would you give it to room 311? And they said, oh, Angeline? Yeah, they said, she said she's going to live here indefinitely. And I thought, wow, what an empty life. Always having different neighbors. Just empty, empty, empty. And I want her to meet Jesus. So I am going to send her a card even after, now that I'm afar. Keep letting her know Jesus loves her. What you do in this community, if you don't have the fragrance of Jesus, it will be worth nothing. Jesus says, if you do this, feed this, and do that, and have not love, it's nothing. If you do it for a good name, it's worth nothing. But if you as a church press together, ask God to forgive you for the lack of having what we need, which is fine. Be real with Jesus. Say, Lord, I don't know how to love those who are stinky, or those who make me uncomfortable, or I don't know how, but you know how, so give me that kind of love. I want your kind of love. Then I pray that as each of you take this, God will someday, as this has placed it in your heart, you can order more, there's an address on here, you'll know who needs to hear that Jesus understands your pain. He'll set you free. He'll release you from the bonds that the devil has tied you up. He will create in you a new person. And then I want you to take your story of what Jesus has done and share it with the world of what a wonderful God we have. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you would send your Son to die in our place. That you take all of our brokenness, you take all the shame, all the things that's been done in our life, and you heap it on him, and you took it to the cross so that we could be set free. Thank you that you give us a new life in Christ. Thank you that you set our mind on things above and not on earth. And when the enemy comes in, let us run to you. Let you fight our battles for us. You said the battle doesn't belong to us. It belongs to you. When we can't trust because we're so broken, build that trust little by little. When Mary understood how many times you had cried and your love for her, she was willing to spend her all, to touch your feet and weep, saying, "Oh, Jesus, thank you for forgiveness." When we understand, each of us here, Lord, what you have done for us, how you forgive us when we sin over and over the same repetitive sin, that you still say, "She's mine, she's my daughter, and I love her." You dust us off, you put your arms of love around us, you pick us up and you say, "I love you, darling. Go and sin no more. But if you sin, you have a Savior. You have someone who will cover you again and again and again." Help us not to believe the lies of the devil that we are lost, rejected and alone, but that we would fill our mind with your truth, that you love us so much that you sent your Son, that you didn't come to condemn, but to give healing and set us free. Lord, let us share this message with all that we come in contact. Give us new lives and new thoughts and new hearts, that we won't be the same person, that others will say, "You know, you're something different." And you can say, "Hey, you know, I spend time with Jesus and he's making me over. He's changing me." Give him all the glory. Lord, you deserve all. You are worthy. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.